I want to start by saying, so last week was an attack from so many different directions week, and I called headship, Dr. Brown Edwards Nelly, and I put my vulnerability out there on the floor, and Dr. Brown commended me for it because she said in the past you wouldn't have done that. You would have tried to just hold it in and just kind of fight. And I was like, well, because the kind of relationship and situation I was in, I always had to fight for myself. So inviting anybody in to really help me that wasn't trying to either score points or prove something or whatever was always a problem. So I learned that when it came down to real things, that I had to go alone. I didn't have that true backup, if you understand what I mean. And I'm not saying that when people weren't there and people didn't pray, but most of the time people, they had emotional agenda to prove something. It was a lot of times it was too much, like sometimes when you're in the position I'm in, people just want to be able to prove they can dunk on Jordan. And I'm not necessarily trying to call myself Jordan, but then yes, I am. Right? It's like people, I want to have the word for you just to show you that I can have a word too. And it's disingenuous. And so you have this situation where, like, I got a couple of people now who reach out to me and call me all the time, but they've shown themselves to me. I don't take their calls. I just don't take their calls. And it's like, you've already shown me who you are, so I am not going to continue. So that created a thing that was released in me. Even when God gave me the revelation, which is one of his quotes in the book, be careful when you begin to build walls to keep people out, because eventually you create the same walls that imprison you. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the way God gave it to me. He said, those walls reverse on you, so don't build them. Being in a relationship with someone that allows me to be, or who is trying to help or willing to help, she had to learn that too, because she was very guarded and very protected in the beginning. So bottom line is I had a team to go to and lay down my vulnerability and say, here's where I am today. And I want to start this message by thanking Headship for being the champions that you were that day. You guys don't understand, or maybe you do, how important that is. And I pray that the same for you. When you're in a situation, you can be vulnerable and come and lay your stuff out before me so I can be there for you just the same. With that said, Hebrews chapter 4, going back to that, and I want to potentially bring the message home. But if not, if God ain't finished with the series will go on. And so I want you to understand what we're looking at here today. I want to drop a couple of gems from last week and want to make sure we're on that page. I talked about currency, spiritual currency last week. How many of you remember what that saying was? Karen, what was the currency? And what was the currency for?
It was for his rest, the exchange is peace, contentment, joy, things of that nature.
Rest is the currency to the manifestation of God's blessings. Rest is the currency. That's the price. That's the admission to enter into that place. That's the currency, or the admission into God's blessing, is rest. Anxiety. So many times Jesus said, fear not. Why did you fear? Why did you doubt? Be anxious for nothing. On and on and on it goes. God says they were cursed because they did not receive my rest or enter into my rest, or they didn't believe me. And not understanding as believers that unrest or anxiety, listen to me close, is a blocker of the entering into the rest. I need you to understand that. And I want you to think about your life. And I'm not saying, oh, there's something wrong with you and you're sinning, blah, 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 blah. That's not the point. The point is that rest is the key that opens the door to the blessings. If you think I'm exaggerating slightly, think about every time the enemy came to attack you. Think about it. With fear and doubt and worry, and those are always the doorways in. Am I wrong or right? Anything that comes at you from the enemy introduce itself with fear, distrust in God, or worry and concern about the situation. Has he really heard me? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because that unrest makes you, if I want to give you an image so it could sit in your mind, I like to give you something that makes you really, really see this. If the doorway to God's blessing is a circle, unrest turns you into a square. You can come to it and you can try to enter, but it won't go in because it doesn't fit the shape. When you get at rest, you're at that place where you fit right into. That's your key into the blessings or the answers to prayer that we're standing and believing God for. So everything that comes against us, especially in the world today, is to bring unrest. So I'm careful when I'm watching videos, when they start to bring things that are stressful or try to invoke anger in you or try to get you to respond some way. I don't like watching Trump said this, this one did that, this one said, I don't like to watch it because I can automatically feel my spirit being misshapen. I can already automatically feel my insides tense up. Everybody here knows that feeling. You can tell when a conversation with somebody, even in your family, and you start to feel everything in you turn into this misshapen ball of something, right? And the moment that you say, you know what, I'm just gonna get off this phone, okay. But now you're still saying, boy, I should have said this, man. I should have said that. I should have cussed them out, man. I don't appreciate them doing that. And it's like, okay, come on, you know what I'm talking about. And I have to stop and say, no. As I said last week, no, no, no. You hung up the phone for a reason to get away from the conversation. Why are you still having it with yourself? Like, let it go. Let it go. They're not hearing you anyway. So you're not affecting anybody but yourself. So just let it go and leave it alone and move on to the next thing. And sometimes, listen to me close, in the beginning especially, that's a job. You have to say to yourself again, I said no, no, we're not doing it. I said no. So the enemy is persistent. He stands strong. He's persistent. I was watching this video today. I thought it was so cute. It was adorable. It's a little girl walking by. She's in the farm, little black girl. She's pointing to the cow, saying, "That's burger." She can't even talk. That's burger. And her parent is going, "No, that's not burger. Don't call it burger." And just as serious as she can be with no flinching, she said, "Cheese on mine," and turned and walked away. Like her mind was set. Yeah, whatever. That's burger. I know where burger come from. And that big thing right there, I want cheese on it. And I said, you know, our minds are so like that. Once we get in a direction, we're not moving. And the enemy knows that he can bank on that. And I want you to listen to me close. He knows that we're strong-willed and powerful-minded. And a lot of people try to make us feel ashamed of that. Stay with me. This is a walk. Ready? You ready to do this with me? How many of you have been made in your life to feel shame or bad about having a strong will or a definite direction and that goes against what the people are trying to tell you you need to have, be it in school or anything else? You've experienced this, right? Okay. Now, why? Why? Because that strong will and that powerful mind is a gift. That's not a curse, but you're being taught it is because that gift used right. When you anchor yourself to the things of God and the truth of God and the peace of God and the rest of God, if you use it in the right way, it makes you indestructible. And so the strong will, I used to always say to my kids, I don't want to break your will. I want to aim it in the right direction, because once you grab the truth that you know is your truth, nobody's going to move you. Once you know the God and you know those truths and you become stubborn in that direction, you become a whole different person. Are you with me? So I'm learning even at my age in the 60s that, yeah, that stubbornness is given to you to make you stubborn and staunch in the things of God. So if I make a decision that rest is my doorway to God's blessing, then anything that tries to exalt itself above that rest is going to be met with violence. It's going to be met with stubbornness. It's going to be met with resistance. But is that a good thing? Well, let's see if it is. Are you paying attention right now? Are you paying attention? Submit yourself to God. What's the next word? Resist the devil, not rebuke. Resist. No, I said no, and no, it is. Resist. That resistance is a good thing used correctly. I'm a little stubborn. I'm a little hard-headed. I'm a little that. Okay, to your flesh, to the devil, or to the things of God? Because if you're stubborn and you're hard-headed and you're resistant in the area of where God is showing you to stand, then you have achieved. So this, if those of you who are into superhero movies, and especially the corny ones, you know, they always have this thing, if only he had used his powers for good instead of evil, right? And it's those same processes in the things of God. You have all these gifts. If only you would use them for good instead of evil. If only I would use them for good instead of being upset and holding a grudge, I can be upset with a grudge and hold peace. That was bars right there. I don't know if you caught that. Okay, so I'm saying to you, listen, you are gifted with stubbornness, hot-headedness, one-track mindedness, all this kind of stuff, but to be used for God, not for bitterness or anger or hostility. I'll never forgive you for what you did, or I'll never forget what God has done for me. And because of what he's done for me, I can stand in peace with people, even when they don't deserve my time and love. I can still have peace in my heart toward them. And that's a process, and it's work, because we haven't been taught that way. And I didn't mean to stay on that point for so long, but God had to show me that this week, like, you know where you need to stand. And if you feel weak or troubled standing there, you have support systems. You call your people that are not where you are possibly right now, and you say, I need some help standing right now. My arms are weak. Hold them up. My knees feel weak. Can I put my arm around your shoulder? That's the power of team. And so when I reached out to headship, I didn't think about it from the perspective that Dr. Brown pointed out, that while, you know, she literally applauded and said, you actually like gave us the opportunity to help. I never saw it that way before, but I naturally did it because of where I'm standing today. I'm not going to be prideful in the area of trying to show myself strong. I'd rather be vulnerable in the area, or prideful, if you want to say, in the area of being vulnerable and being able to give myself to other people that I know will pray and hold me up. These processes of holding this peace, and this is why I'm starting with this before we go forward, is because I want you to understand all this Lone Ranger, I am an island, is bullcrap. It's bullcrap. It's not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that it tells you to do that. It even tells you a cord of three is not easily broken. It tells you if two or more are gathered together. The word tells you, you know, one can by itself can't be warm, but two together can stay warm. It's telling you that your strength is in support and in unity, but it needs to be with people of the mind of God and trying to go where you want to go. I ain't talking about these self-righteous, holier-than-thou people. I'm talking about people that are saying, I understand where you are, I get it, and let me help you walk through that season and that process because I've been there, maybe, or God has given me what I need to help you through that time. It is what it is. So I just wanted to make sure I put that there. As you're stepping out into this realm that I'm teaching you right now, don't go this alone like this. Don't think that you're supposed to stand alone and face all this down by yourself. If God has put people in your life that support you and to hold you up, reach out to those people. Amen. Foundation is laid. Okay, so therefore, verse one, while the promise of entrance rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest we should think it has come too late and have come short, and we have come short of reaching it, or he has come short of reaching it. Now, I'm not going to teach on that today. I did that. I did verse two, but I'm going to read it. For indeed, we have glad tidings, the gospel of God, proclaimed to us, just as they, the Israelites, did of old, right? When the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. It's the same process, is what he's saying. But the message that they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with leaning on the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. So we're here today, and I want you to read this. For indeed, we have glad tidings of the gospel proclaimed to us, just as Israel did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them, just as the Israelites of old did have that same good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. Now, I stopped last week making the point that the good news of being delivered from bondage that came to them is the same today as it is yesterday. It's God the same yesterday, today, and forever. That promise of deliverance was there. And we know what he did, and we saw the track record. And we saw how he parted the Red Sea, and he saw how he drowned the Israelites, and we saw how they came out with all of this wealth, and they choose to use it then to make a foreign god and make a calf and ruin their money like some of us do today when we get wealthy or get wealth or get something. We use it to go build and erect something to the enemy or to the devil instead of using it to build up our testimony. I'll touch on that a little. I won't go too deep into it. But when God begins to bless us, and I got to get all the bling bling, and I want to get jewelry and diamonds and this and that, and gold in my teeth and all of that, that's the golden calf. That says, I need now to present something before the world that makes me look like something instead of saying, God, how do I present and represent you with the success and the wealth you've given me? And it's a big thing, but I won't beat that up today because that's not the message. But here's the message. He promised Israel this deliverance from bondage. Did he deliver it or did he not? Did he deliver it? Okay, so watch this then. So they received the good news of deliverance from bondage that came to them. Watch this. But the message that they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. So he's saying, okay, they got it. And far as I know, and far as you know, and far as we know, it benefited them. It, you know, you read the Bible stories and what he did, but he's saying it didn't benefit them. So that for me caught me because I said, wait a minute. So you mean there was more to the deliverance than what we saw? Did they miss out on something that we missed out on as well? Because when we look at those stories, those are power stories, but he's saying it didn't benefit them. I want you to listen to me. He's saying it didn't benefit them. What do you mean it didn't benefit them? Of course it benefited them. And the only thing I can take from this is God's like, yeah, I got them out And yeah, I opened the doors, and yeah, but they got out in the wilderness, and thousands of them had to fall and die with quail in their teeth and everything else. Why? Because it didn't benefit them the way it was supposed to. It didn't benefit them the way God wanted to benefit them. They were looking for the immediate door open so they can go right back to doing what they were doing. Or somebody better listen to me today. You'd be looking for God to come and help you out and to pay your bills and to do this and to do that just so you can go back to being the a-hole that you've been already. Just take this weight off of me so I can continue doing what I'm already doing. I can continue being stubborn in my own mind in the wrong way, like I've been. This is what I'm talking about. A lot of times we're praying for deliverance and we ask for deliverance, and God's delivering, but He's saying, but it didn't benefit you. Why? Because you didn't mix it with faith. You didn't have a real direction and clear understanding of what God's plan for you was and what God was doing. So, yeah, you got out, and yeah, you paid the bill, and yeah, you got out of that debt just to turn around and get back into another one. Why? Because it didn't benefit you, because it wasn't mixed with faith, it wasn't mixed with purpose, it wasn't mixed with direction, it just was mixed with the fact that you just wanted out. I see this, and I'm a living witness of it. And yourself, you just want a spouse, so you get one. But then it comes down to be careful what you ask for, right? It's always God. Why am I doing this? And what am I doing this for? And what is your purpose? And what is the full outcome? I don't want you to just bring me out. I want you to bring me out where it profits me what you intended for it to profit me. I want the full package. Somebody say, I want the full package. I want the full package. I don't want to just get a gift. I want to get the gift from God and then know exactly how to use it. Okay, so let's keep going. He says, so yeah, it was promised to them, just like it's still promised to you, but it didn't profit them anything because, but the message they heard didn't benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. And what is faith? With leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. That's rest. That's rest by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe. So they got involved for the physical and material benefit, but they didn't get involved in faith from the message that God had brought to them. That's why they wound up again in bondage later. They came out of bondage of Egypt, of Egypt, and on, and where they wound up in bondage to the Romans much later. From one bondage to another, is it not? Am I incorrect there? Because they kept getting brought out, but they never got the entirety of the message. If you're going to bring me out, I want to stay out. If you want to deliver me, I want to stay delivered. If you're going to heal me, I want to stay healed. I want to come out of one situation, I'm healed, and right back into another one, and I'm sick again, and then another one, and I fall and cry and pray, and I'm healed, and then I'm right back again. I wanted to be mixed with the faith and the trust and the reliance on God that makes me say, so I can rest. Because I know you're a deliverer, and no matter what tries to come down the road, I should be able to still put my legs up and go, I'm good. I already know who my deliverer and my redeemer is. He's already proven to me that he's good at that. I mean, you can give me an amen or something if you want, but I'm just trying to share with you the place that God is walking me through right now. I want to be in the place where I say, you did it once, so I know that you are a redeemer. I know you are a healer. I know you said, if I submit to you and these things, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. And if I know that what you said is true and I got proof in my history, I don't want to keep going around the same mountain for 40 years. I want to enter into that rest. I want it to be mixed in faith, and I want it to be solid so that you can now take me to the next level because you don't have to keep dealing with me on this one. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for the hearts. You understand what I'm saying? There needs to be a point that I mature enough that God can take me to the next level. God shouldn't have to keep coming in and rescuing me at the last second. It shouldn't be happening. And I am saying in this season of my life, show me how to be the deliverer that I need to be today that you've trained me to be. Show me how to not be caught up in, oh, this bothered me, or this hurt my feelings. Well, you didn't have to say it like that. Well, I didn't like the way you said that. You know, and all of that stuff is like, God's like, can we get past that? Because I'm going to take you around some people that may talk even rougher than this, but you'll be on another level and you'll be able to trust me in all these situations and circumstances. If you've seen me deliver you before, why can't you grow and mature to the place that you know I'm a deliverer and we move on to the next class? Amen. Thank you, Celine. So watch this. What is mixing it with faith? What is mixing it, the word you hear, with faith? What is mixing the promise with faith? What is mixing the rest and the trust in God with faith? It says, leaning of your entire personality on God. Well, that's just the way I am. Okay, fine. I'm not mad with you being just the way you are. We already had that conversation. This is who you are. Fine. But now, can you use it for good instead of evil? Can you lean your entire personality? Watch this. He didn't say, hey, trust and faith is changing your personality to get along with people. He didn't say that. He said, but lean, what is it saying? Some of it, well, it's just who I am. No, 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 no. Well, God knows how I am. No, 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 no. Let's not play that game. He said, lean in your entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. So watch this. God is looking for you to bring them your whole package, right? Listen to me. The good about you, the bad about you, the thing that you don't like about you, the thing that everybody likes about you, the thing that everybody hates about you, all of that stuff. He said, lean that all on me. Now, I don't care what they think. No, no, no. Leaning all of it on him so he can shape it so it can be used the way it's supposed to be used. Watch this. Those of you who acknowledge that you are stubborn and kind of strong-willed, right? Can I see some hands again? You acknowledge that. Or thumb up if you're not on the screen. You acknowledge that, right? Okay, let me ask you a question. Even though you've been taught that that's a bad quality, isn't that the same quality that stopped you from being a drug addict? When everybody was around you offering drugs and weed and woke and now it's coke and all of that. Isn't that the same thing that kept you out of that hole? Isn't that the same thing that kept you from being a street whore? I mean, I know you ain't supposed to say that kind of stuff, but let's just keep it 100. Isn't that the same thing that kept you out of those kind of places? Isn't that stubbornness, that hard-headedness, the same thing that kept you out of making mistakes and doing things and being conned by people and winding up in illegal activity? And am I right? Isn't that thing, that stubbornness, that hard-headedness, that strong-willed, isn't that the thing that kept your behind out of jail? It's a good thing used in God's hands. Who's blessed by that? You need to understand that. That is a gift that you got from God. Refusing to give it to him and allowing the enemy to shape it with bitterness and hurt and anger, and I'm never going to trust nobody, all that kind of stuff, that's where the enemy takes that and he turns it evil. So it says the total reliance of your personality, everything you think, everything you feel, everything you know, everything you believe on God. That's where that thing becomes powerful. I want to make sure that as God broke this down to me, I want to break it down to you. God said, I'm older now. So I'm looking at life a little different. People say, when you get older, you don't care, you have no filter. No, I still have a filter, but my filter is God, not man and man's approval. I have a filter. But I'm taking all this personality and I'm running it through God. And those of you around are seeing it. You're seeing it in me. So when Dr. Brown, when you said, wow, you came and you poured this out like this, you wouldn't have done that before. Because I'm not the same person now. I'm not being strong in my own strength. I'm going to God, and God's saying to me, now go to your people. You think my flesh and my mind didn't try to say, I ain't getting on there, no call with them. And tell, of course it did. But I rebuked that voice because that's not who I am today. Who I am today. Lindsay, you were out there and you said, wow, you so, you know, you straight and, you know, you still strong, still saying what you got to say, but your spirit is different. You're more gentle and you're more calm within. Right, because I'm not filtering it through that emotion. I'm taking all of my entire personality and I'm doing my best to do what the scripture says and put it on God, not rebuking it, not being ashamed of it, but saying, God, do you have full control of everything I am, my personality, my thoughts, my processes? I know I'm staying on it long, but man, if you get this, it will change everything in your life. Amen. So they didn't have faith, and I never heard faith described as leaning the whole of your personality and everything you are on God. I never thought of it that way. And I'm sure none of you did either. I thought faith, I'm just believe God. I just trust in the Lord. I'm just going to rebuke the enemy. I'm going to get in loud prayer lines. And I'm going to shout and rebuke the devil. And God's showing it here. No. That's a definition of faith that you do where you're still trying to control stuff. He said, here's what faith is. The leaning of your entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Let's read it again. It's leaning the entire your entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. That's a definition of faith that I never saw in my entire life and walk with God. Never did. Never did. I always thought faith was me being strong in the storm. I thought faith was me resisting and standing and being hard-hearted and to tell you, I rebuke this and I stand against that. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I also always thought what that was faith was. I didn't know faith came with rest. Come on, they told me fight the good fight of faith. You're supposed to be fighting and standing and fighting and come on now. And anybody other than me? And I'm realizing faith is rest. So when you look at me and say, why are you so calm now? And you're just so mellow. Because I'm learning that faith is rest. Faith is trusting my entire being, personality, situation, circumstances on His goodness, His wisdom, His power. That's where faith is. That's why I said to you, rest is the key, is the doorway to God's provision and blessings. It's in rest. We're going to title this one today, Rest is the Key. Right? Just so that we know when we want to go back to it, we know exactly where to find it. All right, so watch this. So it wasn't mixed with that by those who heard it. Neither were they united with the ones who taught them it, Joshua and Caleb, and did believe. Watch this. Verse 3. For we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God do enter into that rest. But let's make sure we do it again. How do you do that? How do you trust, adhere to, rely on God? That last verse, leaning your entire personality in absolute trust and confidence in His power, in His wisdom, and in His goodness. So those who have believed and trust and adhere to and trust and relied on God do enter that rest. In accordance with his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter in, when he said, I swore by my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this he said, though his works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all those who believe from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm going to bring this in, and this is the end of the message. This is where I'm bringing this home and I'm wrapping it up. So let's do this real quick. I said it earlier, but I just want to show you that the scripture backs it up. And in case you didn't see it, in case you missed it, I want to make sure you heard what he just said. He just said, this rest, I said to those who don't totally trust and adhere and rely their whole personality, everything on me, shall not enter into this rest, which was already done and completed and is already waiting. So watch this. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna show you. I'm not making this up. He said, I already did it. All the answers to your prayers, all the direction you believe in for, the answer to where you're going to go, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. He said, all that deliverance is already done. I'm just believing God going to do it. No, dum-dum. He did it already. He said, I've been did it. The problem is you can't receive it because you haven't entered into my rest. The problem is you don't have the key to get you in the door to get the thing that I promised you because you're still trying to do it in your own faith and your own belief and your own standing and your own whatever. He said, the reason you don't have it is because you haven't entered into rest. I've already done it and it's already waiting for you. I didn't see that. Let me read it again. For we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted and relied on God do enter into that rest in accordance to his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter, as he said, I swore, he made a swore in my wrath, you should not enter into my rest. Watch this. And this he said, though his works had been completed. And this he said, though his works had been completed. And this he said, even though the works have been completed. In other words, the rest already, you know, that stuff was there for you, and all this deliverance already there for you. It's been completed, but I swore in wrath that some people were not going to get it. That's what he said. His works have been completed and prepared and waiting for all those who would believe from the foundation of the world. What did he just say? What did he just say? What did he just say? He said, everything you're praying for, everything you're asking for, everything you're crying about, everything you worry about, he says, that's all been done from the foundation of the world. All those questions have been, I don't know why God's not answering my prayer. Right there, that tone right there, right there, right there. That's why. That's why you're not getting it. Well, I don't understand why other people who have this, it's not happening for you. That's why, right there. There's your answer. See that little whining that you just did? See that little and complaining and murmuring you just did? That's why you don't have it. That's why you don't have an answer. Because you still trying to rely and adhere to what my feelings feel and what makes me feel good. And it feels like everything is working my way and going my way. And then it makes another turn. Oh, God, I don't understand how much longer it got to be. And God said to me, to all what I'm going through, and those of you who know, God said to me, if you guys watch me, I've become more and more and more peaceful the longer this thing has drawn out. Have you noticed that? I haven't got more anxious. I haven't got more frustrated. I haven't got more worried. Yes, my flesh sometimes feels under attack, and I call my people and say, help me. But let me tell you, y'all can see that as this is going on, I'm becoming, whatever. You know, because I'm learning to give the wholeness of my personality. There's things I could have done. There's attacks I could have taken. There's ways I could have retaliated. I know how to bring an N word down if they come against me. You think I don't? I do. I could get 50 Cent on you real quick. I could find some ways to come and troll you, mess you up. And I can do it. And God was saying, no, you can. But that's not what we're doing today. Well, God, I could say something, I could defend myself. You can, but you won't. But God, isn't it right for me to? No. No, you can. And if I gave you permission, you will. But I'm telling you now, you won't. So I have to trust the entire of my personality on him. So when he tells me to go get another apartment, listen to me close, and pay rent for this, and I'm like, God, but I didn't even get out the lease for that. Do it anyway. It doesn't make sense. But I'll do it. Nevertheless, I'm gonna let the net down. Why? Because I want to trust the entire of my personality on you. And somebody on the outside looking in says, that's some of the dumbest thing you could have done. Why would you do something like that? Well, you may not understand my bookkeeper or accountant, but I did what I believe the Lord told me to do. And I trust him. and I expect him to provide. Even if I was wrong, I expect him to provide a way of escape, but I expect him to do it. So I'm leaning the entirety of everything I believe on him. Some of us had made moves in our lives and we've done things in our life and we really believe we heard God, and now they don't look like it's going the way it's supposed to. I mean, I've been experiencing it. But I have to say, but you know what? I entrust the entirety of my personality on your wisdom, on your power, and on your goodness. I trust you. I trust you because I believe in my heart I did what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do in my heart, God. I know I did. And God said, okay, now let me go over your heart and let's see if your heart is right or wrong, because he will check you when you trust yourself to your power. And he will pull you aside. And he will begin to separate the wheat from the chaff. And he'll be saying, this is me, and this is me, and this is me. But all the rest of that is you. All of this is your interpretation of me. And now we're going to separate them and we're going to fix it. But you're going to have to walk through this class here. I'm going to put a little more weight on you. I'm going to ask you to squat a few more times because you haven't built the fortitude that you need to get the rest of the stuff right and not depend on your old way of doing things. It's a challenge. Your flesh has to come under submission. Your thought process has to come under submission. Your personality has to come under submission. The way you look at things and the way you feel about things has to come under submission. Everything you think, you know, and believe has to come under submission. Oh my God, the thing that God gave me the word years ago, learning. Oh, you're learning, but you unlearning? Well, you're going to unlearn now. And that process, babies, that one right there, where you're not going to keep putting new wine in old wineskins and watching it burst and spill all over the ground, that process right there, that's the process where you have to say, I trust the entirety of my personality, because I just saw and I just showed you in what he said, your deliverance and your answers and all that stuff is done, is been done. But he said, for those who don't enter into my rest, they will not see it in my wrath. I said, they won't see it. You won't see it. You won't see it. That's it. It's there. It's done. It's been done. Stop asking God to fix stuff that he's already fixed. It's done. He said, the key to getting in is entering into my rest, which is total reliance and trust on me. And if you be honest, we know that every time I look at another area of my life, I'm like, that ain't really totally in your hand, God. I can see that ain't in your hand. I can see that's not in your hand. I know that I'm helping you. I know I'm bringing it to you, built and done, and telling you now, bless this. And he's like, yeah, I don't want that mess. Get that mess up out of here. I'm not using none of that. I'm not building your house or your future on these Legos that you bought me. We're not doing this. I don't care how cute they are or how many colors you put in there. This is not what I'm building you on. Who don't want to hear this right now? Is this boring? Because I'm telling you, this is the truth I'm coming into. I win when I rest. And you'll come around me and you'll come around where I'm like, wow, you just seem so relaxed and you just seem to be just taking it easy. And but my emotions and my flesh and the stuff that's been coming against me, you know, financially and otherwise, is trying to scream at me. And I have to go, no, I'm gonna say no. And I've been very good at just saying no. But when I felt like even the saying no's, I needed some help, I reached out to headship and said, I need some help right now, guys. Just pray for me. And they'll tell you, I didn't get on the phone saying, it's just so hard. And I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I know what the answer is. But right now, I need you to spot me. We use the gym term. I can lift this weight, but for these last couple of reps, I'm going to need a spot. How many of you know what a spot is? The spot is a person standing over you while you're doing the bench press. And when you get to those last couple of reps, they just kind of give you a little assist. They just help you. Come on, give me two more. And they get up and they'll help you. So you're not totally lifting it. They're helping you push. And that sometimes is necessary. But pride won't let you get a spot. And pride is in opposition to the total entire trust on God and his wisdom and his goodness and his love and his power. That pride is your thing. Anything that you do in pride is yours. That's yours. Bible said God resists the proud. Now, if I could give you a physical image of that, It may sound a little torturous, but here's how it goes. Instead of being spotted, the weight is being pressed more down on you. I'm giving you more resistance. If you're gonna be prideful, then I'm gonna make it a little bit tougher for you. If you wanna lift it by yourself, I'm gonna let you. If you wanna do it in your own strength, I'm gonna make sure you feel the weight of it. So the final verse said, and it's already done. He's already done it. It's not something that he needs to do. It's already done. It's been sitting there waiting for you to enter into rest so that you can receive it. Who does this bless today? Listen, and I'm not asking you for a show of hand. I'm speaking to you. Listen, let's do it one more time. For those who have believed, adhered to, and trusted and relied on God, do enter that rest in accordance with his declaration that those who do not believe should not enter in. When he said, I swore in my wrath, I mean, he's pissed, he's angry, that they will not enter my rest. And he said, although the works had already been completed and prepared and waiting for those who would believe from the foundation of the world. So before it even happened. So when they went into bondage, the exit was there. It was in rest. But they got in bondage for not being in rest. One time after another, not being in rest. You out there in the field, you getting manna. Manna's disgusting. You want quail. Now, you don't want to make calves. And I'm not putting it all in order, but everything you did was to try to either assist God or go against God. And God says, the movement doesn't happen in that. It doesn't happen. And this is one of the first times that I saw a scripture where I said, okay, God, you're literally showing a place where you're setting yourself against us. Usually I say, no, God doesn't do that because, God gives us a choice and the blessings are there, and God doesn't. And he said, no. In this case, I'm saying you don't trust. I'm speaking against you in my wrath. I got a beef with you right here. And that one took me back a little bit because I always thought, well, God, no, you, even when we wrong, he said, yeah, but you won't enter into my rest. I swore in my wrath that you will not get it. And Israel is living proof, one situation after another, that you don't enter into the rest. You refuse to let me totally run the show. Fine. I'm gonna let you eat the fruit of your labor, and I'm gonna let you eat the fruit of that wrath. You chose that. So I'm saying to you, and I'm gonna end it right here. This is your opportunity to say, no, I'm gonna trust the entirety of my personality, my thoughts, my reasonings, and everything else on you, God. And I'm going to need some help getting there because I've been a hard-headed fool for so long, and I've learned the ways to not do it for so long that I'm going to need you to help me through. I'm going to have to get rid of this pride, and I can't do it without you. I'm going to have to get rid of this ego, and I can't do it without you. Learning how to trust you on this level requires a magnitude of your move that is totally different to me. So I'm going to need your hand on this one. But in that, you are given the total trust of who you are to him. And I'm going to end it on this. And once he starts to move, pray to God that you don't try to take it back and say, I'll take it from here. That's a very, very bad trait that we have as children of God. Okay, I got it now. Thank you. Leave it in his hands all the way. Trust him all the way. Rest is the key, but the provision has already been provided before the foundation of the earth, and it's found in rest. In Jesus' name, amen.